Good morning. It is wonderful to be here with you. John, I think you forgot your glasses. It's great to be here with you guys. I'm going to jump right into it. Sound good? Perfect. If you turn with me to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 24 through 26, I know we just read it, but this is going to be our scripture reading. This is going to be what the whole kind of lesson is going to be based around. So if you'd follow with me, please. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. You know, every single day of our lives, there's one thing that we have to do. We have to make decisions. What time am I going to wake up? What time am I going to eat breakfast? What do I have to do today? Am I going to do this or am I going to do that? Every single day in our lives, we are faced with decisions. Now, some may be minuscule, not really big deals. Do I eat at 8:30? Do I eat at 9 o'clock? Not that big of a deal. But there are decisions that you make that will have an impact on your life severely. And not only your physical life, but also your spiritual life. Many of us are familiar with the story of Moses. Now, if you want to look into it, it starts in Exodus, the second chapter, is where we start talking about the birth of Moses and you know, all that. But to go through it, to kind of summarize a little bit of the birth of Moses and starting at the beginning. He was born at a time where Pharaoh demanded that all the children, all the boys, be killed. And he told the midwives to do this, the people that were delivering the babies. He said, hey, if it's a male baby, you need to get rid of it. And the midwives said, you know, pretty much, you know, these Jewish women, they're strong women. And most of the time they're giving birth before we ever even get there. So then Pharaoh said, well, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to throw them into the Nile. That's what you're going to do. You're going to throw them into the Nile. Well, when Moses was born, it's his mom. Moses' mom saw that he was a beautiful little boy. So she protected him. She had him for about 3 months. And after 3 months, she said, you know, I don't know what to do. I can't keep hiding this child. So what she does is she puts him in a basket and she put him in the Nile. She didn't throw him. She put him in the Nile. And he goes down, and after a little while, there's someone real of high regard that's sitting there bathing in the river. We're going to the river for some reason. And it's Pharaoh's daughter. Now, think of it. You know, this is the guy that commanded that, hey, you know what? If you see a boy, you got to get rid of it. We don't want any baby boys around. So Pharaoh's daughter sees him and says, you know, she kind of feels bad for him. She says, you know what, I'm going to take him in. And with that, Moses kind of grows up. Well, he does. He grows up under Pharaoh's household, Pharaoh's daughter's son. It's hard, right? It's Pharaoh's daughter's son. So it was evident that he was an Israelite. If you go to Acts, the seventh chapter, what you're going to see, and we're going to go there later, and I know I'm kind of rambling a little bit, but I'm just trying to give some backstory. Let's have fun. So So it was evident that he knew he was an Israelite. And, you know, he had this longing for his Israelite brothers. He felt a need to protect them. He felt a need of compassion towards them. And one day there's an Egyptian, as we know the Israelites were in Egyptian bondage. They were slaves to the Egyptians, and Moses saw one of them being mistreated. And what he ends up doing is he ends up striking the Egyptian, actually striking him so hard that he dies and he buries him in the sand. And then they find out. The Israelites say, you know, when he's coming back the next day, they say, well, what are you going to do to me? Are you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian? So Moses went into hiding. And while Moses was in hiding, I know I'm going on a little bit, but while Moses was hiding, he ended up, there's a bug right here. While he went into hiding, there were some stuff that happened, and I won't go too deep into detail about you know, him having a child or anything like that, but long story short, he sees a burning bush. Sees a burning bush, and he realizes that it's God that's speaking to him, that he's on holy ground. And God chooses Moses to deliver the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage, and that he actually did. So that's a little background. I know it took a while to get there, but we're there. So if you think about Moses, you think about all the stuff that he had available to him, being in that household, being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He gave up that luxury. Now think of everything that comes with that. Think of everything that was at his disposal. You got to remember that Egypt at the time, it was a very advanced nation. They had, you know, it was a superpower, if you will. They had a lot of power. And think of all the riches that he had to his disposal. Think of all the food, all the entertainment. Think of pretty much anything that you want. He was royalty. He was related to Pharaoh's, you know, he was Pharaoh's daughter's son. He had comfort in every single aspect. He was living in palaces. He had anything to his disposal. And a lot came with being in Pharaoh's household. You know, Moses was a very educated man. Moses could have pretty much had a really good job if you think about it. He didn't have too much to worry about. Have you ever heard the term born or raised with a silver spoon in your mouth? We've all heard that. Moses didn't have a silver spoon. He had a gold or a platinum spoon. He had a lot to his disposal. Yet, for some reason, he chose to suffer with the lowest people of the low, the slaves. You got to remember that. The Israelites were slaves to the Egyptians. They were looked down upon. They were made to do the grunt work, all the dirty work. This is what they were meant to do. So instead of the honor and the prestige of being Pharaoh's daughter's son, he chose to be with the slaves. And he was upset when he saw them being mistreated. Again, I talked a little bit about it, but he actually struck down an Egyptian that he saw that was mistreating someone. He wanted to protect the Israelites. If you turn with me to Acts, the 7th chapter, verses 22 through 29, it reads, "And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. When he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them being wronged, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his brother would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they didn't understand. And on the following day, he appeared to them as they were quarreling and tried to reconcile them, saying, 'Men, you are brothers. Why do you wrong each other?' But the man who was wronging his neighbor thrust him aside, saying, 'Who made you ruler? Who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?' At this retort, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons." So again, so he decided to be mistreated instead of enjoying all the luxuries. And where I'm coming from that is he wanted to go visit his brothers. He wanted to go visit the Israelites. He didn't want to be around the royalty. He wanted to be around the Jews. He wanted to be around the Israelites. And again, we talked about all the things that he had to his disposal, all the luxuries that you had of being royalty. He suffered shame. He suffered mistreatment. When he had the option to not do so. Now think of it. How many of us here in this audience today would have so much available to us, but we'd say, no, I'm not going to do that. There's a lot of things that Moses had available to him. There, it seems, if you're thinking of it from the aspect, there are some people that say, well, look at all you had available to you. To not take advantage of that, you'd be stupid, for lack of a better term. Why aren't you taking I don't even know the way to put it. How would you take the advantages that are available to you? So why do you think Moses would do this? Why do you think that Moses would forego all these pleasures, all the sinful desires that he could have given into? Because he considered the reproach of Christ, greater wealth than all the other treasures that are in Egypt. He thought that, you know what, no matter what gold and possessions that I have, no matter what I have available to me, I'm going to serve God. He was looking to a reward. Now, we always have a choice in our everyday lives. And the question is, how would we act in the situation that Moses was in? Are we giving in to the desires of the world? Are we enjoying all the, fulfilling all of the lusts that we have? Are we giving in to the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life? Are we holding strong? Are we giving up everything to follow Christ? Are we counting Christ as more important than all these earthly desires? And there may be a time, unfortunately, even in this world right now, that being a Christian is maybe not the most popular thing, right? Being a Christian and following God is not the most accepted thing at this point in time. Now look at the world that we live in. Look what's running rampant in our communities, in our state, in our country. And it's starting to see that, you know, Grandpa has said it before, the devil's out and about and he's walking down Main Street. That's what it seems like, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem like sin is everywhere around us? And as a Christian, we are actually the ones that are going against the grain to be able to fend off these worldly desires, to fend off all of these lusts. And in fact, we're actually looked at weird. We're looked at weird for standing up for the Word of God. Sinful nature is running rampant. It's ridiculous. So how are we going to be able to hold strong and stand firm? Or will we give in to these desires? We, as Moses, did have a choice. And the fact is, Moses could have given in to all these earthly desires, could have given in to, you know what, I'm going to be high on the hog. I'm going to eat all this food. I'm going to sin. I'm going to do all these things, all these riches, these worldly possessions I'm going to just give into. And that's going to be what my goal is. That's what I want to attain. And I'm going to take full advantage of that. He could have very well done that, right? And in fact, that probably would have been the easier way to go. Now think of it, the life of a Christian, think of Moses, someone that he chose to be with the slaves instead. Instead of being royalty, he wanted to be with the slaves. So this fork in the road that we are talking about, it will determine everything for your life. It determines everything for you. Will you follow Christ? Or will you chase earthly desires? Will you give in to the ways of the world, or will you give in to the ways of God? There's a cost that it costs to be a Christian. As I pointed out, it's a harder life to live. It's easy to give in to earthly desires. It's easy to just go of the ways of the world, isn't it? And this is a serious decision. It's a very serious decision that we have to make, and it can't be taken lightly. And there was a strong price, a very expensive price that was paid for us to be able to choose God. It cost the very life of Christ, because the fact of the matter is, brethren, we know what the reward that we are working towards is. The reward we're working towards is heaven. And there's only one reason why we can get to heaven, because there's nothing that I would be able to do in my life that would warrant me getting to heaven. It's only because we have Christ Jesus. And it's only because Jesus lived the perfect life. Jesus died, he was buried, and he was resurrected. So the price that it cost for me to be able to get to heaven, for anybody to get to heaven, cost the very life of Christ. There's nothing that we can do to repay this price. We have been bought. And unfortunately, you know, I have my kids, and I know I'm kind of going off basis and everything, but I have my boys, and I grew up going to church. But the fact of the matter is, this choice is not something that you can make for, that John can make for me. It's not a decision to follow Christ that I can make for my kids. I can expose them to it. I can talk to them about it. I can say, hey, this is what I believe, and this is where I find it, and this is the good way to live. But at the end of the day, it is a decision that they have to make on their own. You have to make the choice to follow Christ. Parents, friends, and family members, There are so many people out there that forget that, that you can't force someone to follow Christ. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, in verse 58, it reads, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." So we have to make sure that when we are following the word of Christ, then we make that decision that we are going to follow Christ, that we are firm in that, that we are strong in that, that we're not, you know, straying away, that this is our main priority. And the thing is, if we choose the way of Christ, if we choose to follow Christ, it leads somewhere. It leads to heaven. And again, you are choosing the much harder route. You can either be a slave to righteousness or a slave to unrighteousness. And we have to pick which one we're going to do. And the slave to unrighteousness, it's not going to lead anywhere good. Being a slave to unrighteousness leads to death, a spiritual separation from God. And talk about no hope. There is no hope when you don't have the love of the Father in you. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 13 through 14, it reads, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Those who enter by it are many, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." It's not an easy life to follow Christ. It's not an easy life to do that. Now, it's a rewarding life, very rewarding life, because it leads to life eternal. So we have to make sure that we're mindful about what we are picking. Like Moses, we have a fork in the road, but here's the thing. When you're choosing the things of the world, those things just don't last. It's only for a season. Notice in our scripture reading that it says the word fleeting. Fleeting means, again, that it doesn't last. These fulfillments of the flesh are not going to last you forever. They're brief. They're momentary. They're short-lived. We need to make the decision that we refuse to be of the way of the world. And we're not going to enjoy the season of sin. Where we need to put our hopes, our wishes, and our desires is pointed out in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 19 and 20. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." So where are our hopes, our aspirations, everything? Where are we putting the weight of what we want? The weight of our decision cannot be in the ways of the world. And unfortunately, us seeking spiritual things and us being into spiritual things and seeking out spiritual things is quite the opposite of what the world wants. They're all about instant gratification. They're all about, I want it. I remember that commercial that I used to see on TV all the time. "It's my money and I need it now," by J.G. Wentworth. So it's we are working towards a delayed gratification. Now, I'm not saying that a Christian life is not a gratifying life. It is. But what we are putting our hopes and everything is in the future. Where we are building up to is in the future. Think of it as a retirement account, right? Retirement account. You got to keep putting money and got to keep putting money and you got to keep putting money. And some people, they look in that 401k and they go, "Geez, man, I could buy some pretty cool stuff with that." Well, what happens is if you take that money that you've been saving, by the time you go to retire, you'll be left with nothing. You won't be able to retire, in fact. So if you choose the way of Christ, you are choosing the much harder route. Now, Moses, if you look towards everything, instead of him, you know, enjoying all that Egypt had to offer, all the physical rewards, if you will, he didn't choose that. He chose the spiritual rewards. So in Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 9, it says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Doing good instead of being in the ways of the world. The ways of the world, what I'm talking about is sin. things that are going against nature, things that are going against what God has told us to do. Unfortunately, people try and take the path of least resistance. They don't like to do the hard stuff. They like to do the easy stuff, the stuff that comes naturally. You know, like the stuff that we were talking about today in class. We were talking about procrastination. Well, I'm going to finish this tomorrow. I was talking with, I made the point last week when we were talking about I would have a school project. Now, don't do this, kids, if you're in the audience. Don't do this. But when I was a kid, I would have a project that had been aside about a month ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, and I would choose the day before it was due to do it. And the problem is, if you do that, you're not going to, if you choose to do that, what happens is the end result is not going to be good. The end result is not going to be what it should be. Am I right? So what we need to be doing is, this isn't something that you think of when it's just on Sundays. Oh, wait, I got to make it to church so I can be a good Christian. This is something that we have to do every day of our lives, right? This is something that we are working towards, and we are outdoing ourselves every single day. That when we wake up in the morning, I'm starting with God. I'm going to pray to God. I'm going to study the Word of God. That's what I'm doing, that He is number one to you, that He is preeminent in your life. He comes before all else. He comes before my kids. He comes before my job. He comes before my family. He comes before me. He is number one. I am going to serve Him. That's the decision that we need to make. Because if you choose these worldly things, if you choose these physical things, they are going to lead to one place and one place only. They're going to lead to death. God doesn't come second to anyone. If you choose that physical route, it leads to destruction. But here's the great news. We have that fork in the road, and there's two ways that we can go. We can choose the path that leads to life. There's only one way to get that life, though. There's only one person who it's through. That's Christ Jesus. Think about Christ. We were talking about Moses, right? And how he chose all of these things instead of, you know, he chose all of these spiritual things instead of the physical, right? Well, think about Christ. Christ was in heaven. Talk about riches in Egypt. Talk about riches in heaven. He had everything that he ever needed. Christ was in heaven with God, and he came down to earth for one purpose. He came for one purpose and one purpose only. You. He came to seek and save the lost, is what we read in Luke, the 19th chapter. He came for us. He wanted a relationship so much that he said, you know what, I'm going to leave heaven and come down. Christ has given us absolutely everything. And he's directing you to the path of real riches. This physical stuff doesn't last. The spiritual blessings, the spiritual riches last forever. They far exceed the physical. Physical riches will vanish. In 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter and verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. How amazing is that? Do we take a second? Stephen said when he was doing the Lord's Supper today, take yourself back. Really focus on what Christ did for you. It's amazing when you sit there and think about it. I don't deserve it. In fact, none of us deserve it. He just loves you so much that he wants you to have a home with him in heaven. Again, count on serving Christ as your number one priority. These things, these worldly desires, you serving the flesh is not going to lead to life. In Mark, the 8th chapter, in verses 34 through 38, it reads, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever would save his own life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words and in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes to in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Wow, isn't that, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? That's really, really, really powerful. So we're not going to be seeking the things of the world. Could you imagine living your life and you're doing your thing? And, you know, unfortunately, there are a lot of people that are unbelievers. There are many people that say, you know, there's no such thing. Well, I can guarantee you one thing. It will become a harsh reality to them when they come to judgment. Everybody will know one day. We know now. We have to give up everything. He has to be prioritized in our life, preeminent in our life. There are so many things that, I mean, we can enjoy physical things while we're here on earth, but that's not what we're seeking above all else. That is not our goals. That is not our number one in our life. In Philippians, the third chapter, verse 7, Paul says, he goes, but whatever gain I had, I counted it as loss for Christ's sake. He recognized that the things of this world don't last, that we are to seek God before all else. And choosing a road to serve Christ is a decision that lasts, that leads to eternal life. We can't be thinking of the physical. We have to meditate on the things that are spiritual. In 1 John, the second chapter, verses 15 through 17, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desire of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. In order to be a servant to Christ, you have to seek him before all else. But you have to have a relationship with him. We have to have a relationship with him. And in order to do that, you have to have faith. If you notice our scripture reading, again, it says, by faith, Moses. First thing that he did was have faith. And we realize that without faith, can we please God without faith? No. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 6, it says, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Are we diligently seeking him? That doesn't mean seeking him every once in a while. It means that we're diligent, that we're constant, that we're always doing it, that we are seeking him at all times. You know, you see those people walking around with the "What Would Jesus Do?" bracelets. I mean, that may not be as popular as it was when I was younger and stuff, but it's not. It's "What would Jesus have me do?" Is that ringing in your mind all the time? Do you have the love of Christ in you? Are you thinking, "Is this what I'm gonna? Did what I do today make Christ proud?" That's a question that you always need to be asking yourself. And we need to make sure that we are, again, living by faith. Can you put yourself in a certain situation that's going to jeopardize your faith or jeopardize you sinning? We need to make sure that we're evaluating, that we always have Christ in our minds. In Romans, the first chapter, verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. We are to be righteous. We are to be seeking God. How do we get faith? How do we get faith? In Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 17, it says, for faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. Now, what does hearing mean? That it goes one ear and out the other? No. That's not what hearing means. Hearing means understanding. It means meditating on it. It means reading it. How are you going to understand the word of Christ if you're not going to be studying your Bible? How are you going to be, you know, you need to make every effort to study the word of God, and not only to study the word of God, but to hear the word of God. The word of God is how we get faith, but we have to understand it. And we do that by diligent study and hearing his word. We have to trust that he rewards us, that he rewards us for diligently seeking him. In Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 5 through 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So we are saved, that we are trusting him, that we know that God is the one that has the answers. I'm not seeking within my physical self to know the answers of life, to know how I'm going to make it to heaven. We don't look to ourselves for that. We look to God. And the way that we are saved is by grace through faith. In Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 8 through 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that none may boast. If we live by faith, if we are truly serving God, are we, if we are taking the fork in the road that is Christ instead of earthly desires, instead of away from Christ, that is how we get our reward. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. The reward that we have is in heaven, and we have to have faith in order to have a relationship with Christ. We don't have to deal with the pitfalls of this physical life when we get to heaven. We don't have to deal with all the struggle, all the pain. We don't have to deal with all the sadness when we get to heaven. There's going to be no bad. There's going to be no sin, no corruption in heaven. How peaceful does that sound? How great does that sound? Unfortunately, though, we don't walk perfectly. And again, there's nothing that we can do that would earn our spot into heaven. The great news is that Christ Jesus did walk perfectly. By living a life of faith and submission to him, we can get that grace, that undeserved favor. As I said in the beginning of the lesson, every day we are faced with decisions. And this is a decision that we need to make every single day. This isn't a decision that you just, you know, oh, we talked about it in class, that I'm going to make it next week. You know what? I'm going to really start following God next week because I got a lot of hobbies to do. I got a lot of stuff to do. I got to go to the grocery store. I got to do this week. Don't let anything take priority over Christ. Don't let anything take priority of your relationship with him. We have to make that decision. We have to take that side of the fork in the road where we are going to choose Christ. And here's the great news. Everybody here has an opportunity today to take advantage of why Jesus came and what he offers you. And the thing that he offers you is salvation. The thing that he offers you is life eternal. And is life eternal. So if you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come. But first, you got to make sure that you believe. That you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. That you confess, that is with your mouth, that you're audibly saying that, you know, again, that I believe that he's the Son of God, that you repent, that is changing your mind, changing about who's going to be steering your life, who are you going to be serving above all else, and be baptized into a watery grave in a covenant relationship with him. Won't you come? All together we stand and sing.